Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, coming to you today from the Compliance and Ethics Institute. I am joined by Paul Fiorelli, who's the director of the Cintas Institute for Business Ethics at Xavier University. Paul is a frequent speaker at our meeting, and this year he'll be speaking on the topic of Snitches Get Stitches, the ominously titled session about whistleblowers, retaliation, and various things. Really glad to have you here, and thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure, Adam. Actually, I just gave a session at 11 o'clock. Went well, probably had about 250 people there. We really enjoyed it.
Good. Anybody leave with stitches?
No, it was a stitch-free zone.
That's great. So I think it's a great topic. I'm long fascinated by the difference between our avowed interest in people reporting wrongdoing, but how that stops them if we work with them. You know, it's the old thing about it's okay to talk within the family about Great Aunt Edna's whatever, but never mention it outside. And suddenly the person becomes a snitch, not a truth teller. Why do you think that is? Is it something that we're all wired as humans?
You know, I think even just growing up as children, we normally have that question about, you know, it's bad to, even our parents tell us, don't tattle. You know, you can have brothers and sisters who are fighting, and it's basically work it out. And I think that mentality has kind of played through in the workplace.
So basically, it's one of those things where it's tough. We have to start redoing the rearing of children. It's just tough. And I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think one of the problems is we're always told to do that. And I think part of it is a sort of a tribal part of our wiring.
It is, but it doesn't really get the right message out. You know, what we need to do is to say, do we really want to have that message that you shouldn't tell about something that's going on? If there's a problem at the workplace, I think we need to know. I think we want to have a comfortable environment where people say, you know what, I'm not sure if this is a problem, but I'm going to tell somebody. And if my supervisor blows me off and my boss's boss blows me off, I want to have a way that I can basically get that information into the system. And without that, if people don't trust that you can do that, they'll never come forward. And you're going to be reading about the problems on the headlines as opposed to dealing with it internally.
Yeah, I think you're raising good points there. I've just, in fact, recently did a podcast with a key TAM lawyer who talks about the fact that, you know, contrary to popular belief, relatively few people are in it just for the money. And a lot of the problems is they don't know where to go. People, they don't think will listen to them. And that gets into the way. So how do you think companies can start stepping up and compliance professionals in particular can help overcome this issue?
Well, I think there's a number of steps. You want to try to create an environment where people feel comfortable coming forward, even if they're not sure. So you can tell me about a potential problem, I'll investigate it, but you know what? I may not be able to tell you what the resolution is. And that can create a problem. Here's the problem. I see something, you know, somebody who's cheating on their travel and entertainment expenses, I think they're doing that. I talk to internal audit, I talk to our chief compliance officer, they may do an investigation. And if I don't see that person fired right away, I think, oh, you know, they didn't do anything about it. Why should I bother? Where actually what might have happened is that there's an investigation. The person's been disciplined. Their career is flatlined. But they're not going to cycle back and tell me, oh, by the way, that person's never going to get a promotion again. So it creates what I call a trust vacuum. Hmm. Do you trust me? Do you trust me that you can tell me about a potential problem? I will investigate it. And appropriate action will be taken, even though you might not see it. If you can do that, then you'll encourage people to come forward with these problems. You know, you talked about QUITAM bounties, and we're one of the few countries that really awards that kind of monetary incentive. Sapin-2 in France, they talked about that for a while. The UK Bribery Act doesn't do anything like that. So any of the other programs, they tolerate whistleblowing. They talk about not having retaliation, but that's about as far as they go. Whenever we talk about retaliation, the two biggest fears that whistleblowers have, retaliation and managerial inaction. Retaliation isn't always, I filed a complaint and I got fired the next day. Retaliation can be, I filed a complaint and I was getting 4 out of 5s, and 5s on my performance evaluations where 5s are fabulous, and now I'm getting 1s and 2s. We used to go out as a team every Friday for drinks. Now, the team goes out, they just don't invite me. So retaliation can be subtle, it can be indirect, and that's a problem. The other one is managerial inaction. We have to engage the whistleblowers, and really probably even have a different word for it. Whistleblowing has such a negative connotation. I call it reporters, you know, people who are reporting potential problems. And if we can do that, and if we can say, you know what, it's not a sense of disloyalty to have that person come forward. That's what we always say, that the whistleblower is disloyal, or he or she is being disloyal to their friend or colleague or teammate. And really, it can be an opportunity. My friend is screwing up. I talk to them. They're ignoring me. And I think that they're in trouble. And what I need to do is to give, you know, tell somebody else in power, here's a person in trouble. Can you help them? And they may lose the job. There may be some problems, and there may be hard feelings. But this is an opportunity for that friend to correct a potential problem and to keep the company from being exposed to that big risk.
Yeah, it's a tough challenge. It's funny, as you were talking, I was reminded of something that the head of my kid's school always says to kids who don't want to report what their friends are doing. He said, I know you're afraid of getting your friend in trouble. The problem is your friend is already in trouble.
That's the thing.
It's just no one's dealt with it yet.
That's exactly right.
And what you're really doing is trying to help them get out of or through whatever the trouble is. And I think it's the same thing in companies. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, we all know that there's group dynamics wherever you work. We all know you stick together where it's a mob code of silence or the police code of silence or teachers or whoever. It's very difficult for people to go against the group.
Well, pardon me, you're right. And we do like to be liked. We like to be part of the team. We don't like to stick out. We don't want to be the nail that sticks out gets hammered, is the Japanese saying for that. We really want to be part of a cohesive group. But sometimes there are problems. Mm-hmm. And when we see the problems, we have to allow an outlet for people to get that information into the system. That's what good managers need. They need to know where's the potential problems. Where are the, you know, the big headline cases? That if we stop it now, it won't be such a big headline. And maybe no headline at all. Maybe that's why we have helplines and hotlines. It's to get the information into the system and to say, we care about our employees, we want to have a good working environment, and you can come forward without fear of retaliation. Now, one of the things about retaliation that I tell companies that they should consider is they do a pretty good job of a person files a complaint. We know who that person is if it's not anonymous. And we can see that they're not fired right away. And, you know, we can see if their evaluations are, you know, the next evaluation cycle, they're still doing okay. But should we look back, you know, in 6 months or a year to say, boy, this person was a high potential before, you know, with an astronomical rate of
ascent.
Ascent, and now they're flatlined. And why is that? It's because the team hates that person. Mm-hmm. And we have to go and try to make that, to correct that. Because if we don't, people will never come forward.
Well, thank you for coming forward and spending some time with me here today and with all of our listeners. And thanks for speaking at the annual meeting. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE. I hope we've expanded your compliance perspectives.